as we look deeper into this passage in Hebrews, let's pray. Father, as we look at this topic of faith, just work by your Spirit in our hearts. Seal the truths of this passage, of what Jesus has done for us, on our hearts, that we might know you better and love you more. Jesus' name, Amen. When Jackie Pullinger was in school, she heard some missionaries talk about what they were doing and decided she wanted to be one. Well, at the time, she tried to avoid speaking about it because people would take the mickey out of her, they'd make fun of her. When she grew up, this continued. She felt prompted to go to Hong Kong. While she had skills in music, as she found out, the government agencies did not employ musicians to go to Hong Kong, and the missionary societies did not seem keen. After talking to a pastor, she decided to go anyway, taking the cheapest ship she could find and turning up in Hong Kong with the equivalent of £6. Now, this was 1966. £6 stretched a bit more than it does now. But the immigration officials were worried. They thought it might last Jackie 3 days, and only let her in when she said she knew a police officer. She found work teaching, helped at another school, but also found her way into the walled city. The city where the triads, many of the drug addicts were, where the gangs were. And eventually she set up a youth group in the walled city, prayed with many of the addicts and gang members, spoke about Jesus, and she saw people come off drugs, be healed, and come to Christ. One time the club where she hosted the youth group was trashed, but this also brought protection. A senior triad sent one of his men along to protect the club. She didn't get beaten because she was a woman, and the triads could not get over why a Christian lady would spend time with bad people like them, with people on drugs, with prostitutes, with gang members who might kill people or beat people. And eventually this led to a church forming and the walled city opening up. Jackie Pullinger went to Hong Kong by faith. It seems stupid, yet God used it to bring so many to Jesus. And the passage today is all about such faith. Faith in the God who acts now and will bring his people into the heavenly city he has built for them. Just previously, Hebrews has said who the people of God are. 10, verse 39 reads, "We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." So, as the people of God, we do not shrink back from him, but push on, serving him in faith, believing and being saved. So the challenge for each one of us is to live out our lives in faith. And chapter 11 speaks of what faith is, pointing us to examples of people who do this. But first, it talks about what faith is. In 11 verse 1 it reads, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith works out the certainty of what God will do. It shows that we know what God will do and therefore live out of it. It's not just a prediction, like who wins State of Origin or the Ashes. There might be different opinions here. We might trust our side enough to watch it with rival supporters who support a different state. But that's different from staking our lives on it. But with faith, faith has a certainty that God works in our lives, in this world, and ultimately looks forward to a better place. It's the certainty of being with God, of being with Jesus, in our eternal home. That's faith, and that's what people are commended for by God. People of all generations, including those before Jesus. Verse 2 reads, "This is what the ancients were commended for." We're pointed to those before Jesus, to those in the Old Testament who live lives that God considers righteous because of their faith. And how we should live. We should learn to live from their witness, from their lives. But before mentioning the individuals that appear in the Old Testament, Hebrews first refers to the creation of the world in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We know by faith God was there before the world was created, that the world, the universe, was created from nothing. It's not a clay pot created from clay that's already there. Matter came into being at God's command. The author does not specify how God created it, but simply says that the world was created at God's command. God's word brought the world, the universe, into existence. And that's why we can have confidence in God. He can create from nothing, and did so by his word. The passage does not state precisely what happened in creation. In fact, the Bible takes remarkably little interest in the time before man, spending only the first chapter on it, showing how little importance this is to our relationship with God. What it does emphasize is that God's sovereign and that he creates by his word. And in terms of our faith, us believing him, the way of salvation, the hope that we have, comes from our belief that God is sovereign, that he is in control, that he created the universe by the power of his word, that he spoke and creation happens. Which means if he speaks, a new heavens and a new earth will appear. And this is the type of faith we're to live in. Not just a theoretical faith, we say we believe in facts, but something we live for in our lives. It changes how we live, because we know a God who is in control. That's real faith, a faith that does not shrink back, but believes so we're saved. And Hebrews emphasizes this kind of faith. It starts with two examples that we cannot speak against the people, because there's nothing said that's bad about them in Scripture. First Abel, his sacrifice was better than Cain's because he offered it by faith. It was not because he was perfect that he was commended for, but it's his faith that led him to be commended as if he was righteous. Abel acted out of faith, sacrificed, gave up his possessions to God, and was commended for it as if he was righteous. And Enoch also, because of his faith, by faith, he was commended as one who pleased God. It's not by perfection or personal righteousness, but trust in God that led to God commending him. It's a living faith that we live out of, that God's pleased with. We cannot please him with our own goodness, our own works, because we go our own way too much. We need a living faith that we act out of. Verse 6 reads, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." The emphasis here is not a theoretical knowledge, an insurance policy. I'll believe God exists and pay a minimal fee, so if he does, I get eternal life. Instead, it's an earnestly seeking, a wanting to get to know him, earnestly seeking him, even when it costs, and so receiving rewards. The examples here are not people who refuse to stand out. They're not people who are happy to worship God behind closed doors. They're people who do stand out, who are prepared to pay a cost, because they want God and will earnestly seek him, whatever the cost. And the passage goes on to examples that are a lot more obviously sinful than the first two, that have faith, but also significantly and obviously fall short. And we have that recorded. They're not righteous of themselves. Firstly, Noah. Now we remember Noah for the flood, for building an ark and surviving, unlike all those around him, because he trusted God and built an ark. Yet he's also remembered as getting drunk, and his kids having to cover up for him, literally. The good ones, rather than causing a disturbance, placing a covering over him. The bad, causing bringing attention to his nakedness, and getting cursed for it. Then Abraham, the father of faith, leaving his home for a distant land, and living like a stranger in a foreign country, before his descendants took ownership of it, having them take control and become as numerous as the stars, as we see with the Jews today. But doing this because he was looking forward to the city of God, to dwelling with him. Verse 10 reads, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham lived on faith, relying on God's promise, looking forward to what God would do for him and his descendants. By faith he was enabled to have a child, despite Sarah being barren, and from this child God kept his promise of Abraham being becoming a great nation with descendants as numerous as the stars, as we see with Israel and the Jews today. Now, it's a good thing Abraham lived by faith, because at times he lied, he didn't trust God, he struggled, he had Ishmael with a maidservant because he didn't fully trust. He struggled. But he lived trying to trust God to provide and not always seeing the fulfillment of God's promises. Verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. The people that are listed, with the main example being Abraham, were looking forward to something better and living out of it. They knew they did not belong to the nations of this world. Me? I've got two passports. In terms of being Australian, I passed the convict test. I've got convict heritage, but failed the cricket test as I support England. Yet, if you ask me what citizenship matters more, the answer would be neither, as I have another citizenship that really does matter, that of heaven, which means I should live out of that by faith, being prepared to even be rejected for it, because I want a better country, a heavenly one, just as the ancients did in verse 14. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. That's the challenge that this passage represents for us as Christians. Do you live looking forward to a heavenly country and therefore represent God even when it's hard? Are we prepared to stand out as Christians, or do we just act as those around us? Do we represent God, encourage others to come to him? And follow him. Because that's what living by faith is about. Now the passage continues, listing some standard actions that are done in faith, the blessings of sons, and one that probably should make people's hair curl, Abraham being prepared to sacrifice Isaac and being praised for it, because he was prepared to give his son, the son through which God promised him his inheritance, up to God. Now, Abraham did not have the scriptures banning human sacrifice. They were written later. But he was showing he trusted God with his son, who was of critical importance to him. And then Moses is spoken about. Moses, who was an Israelite and knew it, but was brought up as a prince in the Egyptian court, yet rejected the wealth and easy life to be a part of the people of God. Verse 24 reads, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." Moses, as all the people listed here, chose to be counted as belonging to Jesus. He looked forward to Jesus' coming and was prepared to choose disgrace over life as a prince. Moses thought Jesus more important than anything he'd inherit as a member of Pharaoh's household, and chose to be an Israelite, a member of the people of God. Now, Moses was not perfect. That was shown by how he killed an Egyptian as a part of making this choice. And that is true of so many more of those making choices to live by faith. of the Israelites who marched around Jericho, but struggled to take the land as they failed to trust God so often. Of Rahab the prostitute, of Barak who'd only go to war if Deborah came with him, of Gideon who, while he destroyed Israel's enemies, needed fleeces to go to war and only partially rejected the kingship, of Jephthah who did not know God's word and so while he destroyed God's enemies ended up sacrificing tragically his daughter, of Samson who killed the Philistines while living for his own pleasures, whatever God thought, of David who raped Bathsheba, killed Uriah, and even Samuel who appointed his sons as judges despite them having bad character. All were people with failings, but they're people who lived by faith and acted out of it. And the author to the Hebrews sums up the rest of the witnesses in verse 35. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Tortured, stoned, sawn in two. The sawn in two, according to other sources, is a reference to Isaiah as he was sawn in two in a tree after he ran away from one of the Israelite kings, Manasseh. Others killed by the sword. It's the destitute, the persecuted, and ill-treated that the world's described as not worthy of. Now you might think they'd enter heaven ahead of us, and we'd be happy trotting along at the rear, not having had to suffer such things. But Hebrews says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Well, they're commended for their faith. They did not receive what was promised. They had to look forward to Jesus and believe. We've got better. We know the Son of God that died for all the times we go our own way, for all the times we forget, ignore, or reject God and act out of pride and selfishness. We know Jesus who died that we might share in his righteousness, so that we might live in this better country, in the city God builds for us. Surely then, the faith of those who went before Jesus, who could only look forward to him coming, and yet were prepared to count disgrace for his sake, worth rejecting riches, worth becoming strangers, aliens, that should inspire us to live for Jesus in this world now. To live by faith, representing God, even when it's hard, using what we have for him, encouraging others to do the same. Let's live out our faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he died that we might live. And we ask that you grant that we might live our lives by faith, that we'd know you better and live for you more, that you'd grow our faith, Father. Jesus' name. Amen.